Buckle up. It's the Insurance Dudes Podcast.
Boom! You can't even see the arms. You have to, like, switch them, like, pull them in.
Yeah.
What do I do with these? All right.
Jason Levine. Well, Jason, welcome to the Insurance Dudes. We were just speaking beforehand how confusing it's going to be with two Jasons.
Two Jasons.
Luckily, we've never had another Craig on here.
I mean, you can call me Chief Osceola if you wish.
Oh,
Chief Osceola, absolutely.
Lieutenant?
Chief. Isn't that the worst, though, when somebody calls you Chief?
Hey, Chief.
I think the worst is actually Captain.
Ah,
do people call you Captain?
No, hey, they Captain. Don't.
Yeah, that'd be, or Cap'n, like Captain Crunch, or Cap'n Crunch.
All those names. Hey, Chief. Hey, Captain.
Do you think that I had to go to Circle or a 7-Eleven to get something for some chocolate milk for my son? And I was, and he's 16. I was in there in line, and there was a gentleman in front of me who was wearing a MERS. I took a picture of it.
Well, hold on.
I wanted to call him Chief. That's what that had to do with. That's why I thought of that.
Maybe he just had something really important to carry.
Yeah. What did you call it? A Merchel? You said it was like a half between a man person, a satchel. So a Merchel?
Something like that.
Merchel. Matchel.
What did your son ask you, dude? Did he say, Dad, can you just go to the store and grab me some chocolate milk?
Well, we were going. So, okay. To totally not have anything to do with anything that we're doing here. My son just turned 16. He got his license yesterday, his driver's license, not his license to kill. And we've been driving every night for the last 3 weeks to practice. 3 weeks ago was awful. It's much better. And he passed yesterday. But in celebration, we stopped and got chocolate milk. And then I have a steam room here at my office. And we went in the steam room afterwards.
With the chocolate milk.
No, you don't bring it in there because it'll turn into like chocolate.
Yeah, I was going to ask if it curdled.
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't done that project yet.
You should try.
What? So in a celebratory act, you drank chocolate milk and immediately went into a steam.
I got a monster. Yes, I drank a monster seven amazing. At night. Yeah. Yeah. I had trouble sleeping last night. I wonder if it was because of the monster.
Oh, we are so off.
Jason, he's like, welcome. What the hell have I got myself into?
No, this is good. This is good. I'm just trying to figure out when to interject and how batshit crazy to be.
Yeah, well, as batshit as possible. And now we're going to jump right into Speed Breakers, which is our intro to kind of break the ice, which we've sort of done already. But let's do this. Should I throw in some of the new questions, Mr. Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with the new question log that we tried out earlier, and it seemed to work well. I hope
Craig's
you have
ask you a bunch of questions. Just the first thing on the top of your mind, throw it out there. There's no wrong answers.
There is a wrong answer to the one question.
I would just like to start with, on the advice of my attorney, I have no comment.
Okay. You may have no comment to the third question. Let's get this thing going. And I know the answer to this already, but have you ever had a mullet?
I have never had a mullet, but I had way too many crew cuts.
Well, okay. There you go. Tastes great or less filling?
Tastes great.
Yes, that's 100% of the time it's been answered that way. Most embarrassing thing your mom ever caught you doing?
Oh, man. Not much.
I thought that's where you were going to say no comment.
I could have said no comment.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad randomly came home from the office one day when I was in high school, and I may have had a lady friend over.
Oh.
That was my dad, not my mom. So.
Okay. Okay.
Interesting.
Have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
I have never jumped out of an airplane, but I do fly them.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
Nice. We'll talk a little bit about that, perhaps. What is the best dinosaur?
Oh, man, the T-Rex.
Yep, correct. How many kids?
One and done. No,
have you made cry? I'm sorry. Please wait for the...
Oh, well. Well, do you mean actual children or just human beings behaving like children?
Hey, oh.
That's your call. Your call.
No one's ever asked that.
Well, if it's children, it's maybe like two or three. But if it's adults who also behave like children, the list is too long, man. I lost count. I just don't know.
Managing risk. I like it. What year did Marty go back in time to?
Who gives a shit? But the DeLorean's awesome.
Yes. Yes. Well, then you're going to say the same answer to this. What song was playing in The Enchantment Under the Sea when George and Lorraine first kissed?
I don't know.
Earth Angel. What kind of car was Kit?
It was Trans Am, right?
Yes.
Or Firebird. Yes.
Oh, it could have been a Firebird. I think that's the same car, pretty much.
It is the same car. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it was a Firebird.
So my wife drives a Tesla, and she has
as
a new one that has the speaker in it. So you know how you can like program your horn to just blare obnoxious things.
It's the emission testing.
The car does fart.
It does.
But you can actually get the audio from Kit, and when you honk your horn, it can start doing the Kit swoosh noise.
Really?
Yep. Oh yeah.
Oh man, my Tesla must be too old.
You just have to upload an MP4. It's pretty cool.
I'm gonna have to look into that.
As a matter of fact, we were coming from dinner with one of our major carriers the other night at an agent's convention because, see, here in Florida, we've been living like normal human beings for like the last 14 months anyway. So we had full convention. You could like see everybody's face. You could touch them. You could poke them, lick them, whatever the hell you wanted to do. And one of our major partners took us out to dinner. And of course, there was plenty of wine. So my wife is driving, not me. And we're pulling out of the parking lot and some of our colleagues were standing on the curb. So I'm like, honk the horn, honk the horn. She's like, no, it's obnoxious. I'm like, honk the damn horn. And she had it set to La Cucaracha. And right as we drive by. Yeah, exactly. So it was.
That is fantastic.
It might actually be obnoxious, but I find it
amazing. It's great. Yes.
Oh, it's the best.
What country was Hasselhoff huge in?
Deutschland, yeah.
That's right. Dogs or cats? This is the one that has the correct answer.
Dogs all day.
Yes. Nobody has ever said, maybe one person, but they.
One person said, yeah.
We deleted the episode. Tacos or burritos?
Oh, man. Mexican food. By the way, tacos and burritos, I mean, they're kind of just the same stuff, just rearranged. But I don't know. Right. I think tacos are more like trendy right now.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll go with tacos because one of the times I pissed my mother-in-law off the most I ever have is when my wife and I, she's originally from the Valley, and we used to go out to Cali all the time, and we went to a taco truck in Watts.
And my
mother-in-law like could not deal with herself because we just randomly like drove to Watts and went to a taco truck.
Nice. That's where you find the best ones.
Begged for money like one time, and the dude is just like, hey, like I swear I'm not going to use it on crack. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you just told me. You're going to use it on crack.
Yeah, right. That's code for I am going to.
Exactly.
A couple more here. What does ALF stand for?
It's like alien something, something that we all watched in like the late 80s or early 90s. Yes. And we should know, but I don't.
That's okay.
That's right.
And the final villain in Ghostbusters? We like the 80s.
Is it Marshmallow Dude?
It is the Stay Puft Marshmallow
Man. Yeah, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I make Keymaster and Gatekeeper jokes all the time.
There you go.
Yes.
And the one that makes everybody super comfortable, Trump or Biden?
Oh, Trump all day.
There we go. Jason.
Love it.
I mean, listen, let me qualify that because, like, you know, people are going to, like, now look me up and, like, try to shoot me. But the Cheeto needed to learn when to shut his mouth.
Yes.
Biden's just a crazy mofo. Like either one is great or ideal, but I will tell you straight up, if I could have my life back from like February of 2019, or rather February of 2020, and forget the whole pandemic ever even happening, so it's not about that. Give me February 2020 over February 2021 any stinking day.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you have it again in the crypto market. It's back to February of 2020.
Whatever, man. I steer clear of crypto. I'm not a crypto fan.
Yeah, I'm not either anymore.
Final question. What was the first concert you ever went to all the way back to Barney?
Okay, so like first real concert or like
any.
I threw my best friend a bone and went to a concert with him, and I don't consider it my first real concert.
But what was it?
Well, it's either Blink 182 with Bad Religion and Phoenix TX.
Oh wow!
Or Britney Spears.
But see, Britney Spears makes the other Jason so excited.
That does.
Is that our first Britney?
I think that's our first Britney. I went to a Britney concert once.
I don't know if you can say this, but it's Britney, bitch. We have to check the little box now.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, awesome.
Yeah, no, I have a really good buddy who's actually the best man at my wedding who he's half Greek. So he'd go to Greece every summer and Hard Rock Live here at Universal Studios in Orlando. Jesus, this is probably, I don't know, 25 plus years ago now. They had Britney Spears and he wasn't there to be a crazy person and go buy tickets. So I was like 14 or 15 and my dad took me to City Walk at like 4 a.m. to get in line for tickets. And
you got
Blink-182 is better, man. But I mean, Britney's pretty nice to look at, especially back in like the mid 90s.
What about Bald
Britney? Yeah, it was fun.
Bald Britney.
It was fun. Bald Britney was awesome.
No. You know, the whole Demi Moore, G.I. Jane thing, I'm good.
Yeah, Blink 182 is good. I used to be a drummer, and I took lessons for a couple years from Travis. That was cool.
I just need to address something you said. You said half Greek. Is there such thing? I think, don't you just round up?
So, you know what? You already got me to say Trump. I'm not going to get into an ethnic debate in the same podcast.
Probably not a good idea. So,
he's Greek American, but is he Greek American American? Because like his dad is, you know, just an American guy for several generations with no Greek roots, but his mom was like born and raised in Greece and they'd go there every summer. I leave it to him to decide and for y'all to have your own opinions, although I do have opinions.
Is his name Nicholas?
He is the only Greek not named Nick, Nikki, Nicholas, or some other Greek. And he did not actually have a big fat Greek wedding. His wife, they met in college and she was actually on a swimming scholarship from Poland. So they got married in this little town, like 50 kilometers from the Ukrainian border in like rural Poland. It was amazing. It was gorgeous.
Wow. Nice.
That is awesome.
Lots of vodka.
I'm sure. So let's make this into an insurance talk and take us back to how you got into insurance. I know you went to Florida State. You studied actually in college. You studied insurance, which is interesting. I didn't know that there was a lot of that. And you say that you're an insurance nerd. Talk to us. Tell us about that.
So I grew up convinced I was going to have absolutely nothing to do with the insurance world. So there are two ways you fall into this hot mess, right?
Yes.
One is a family connection and one is just a total happy accident or maybe not so happy.
Because there's nothing else. This is it.
With the stated plan to use law as a footing to politics, yada, yada, yada. And I actually went to undergrad at Brandeis University, which is just outside Boston in Waltham, Mass., which is where I met my wife. And I learned very quickly, starting to engage in Massachusetts local politics and things, that I actually wanted to like my life and like the people around me and be a real person instead of having like 20 personas and, you know, basically being a professional backstabber. So I had always had a lifelong love of aviation. And finally, in undergrad up in Mass, I started getting back into flying, took flying lessons, got an instrument rating, all this fun stuff. So I thought I was going to pursue commercial aviation. And my now wife wasn't, you know, the hugest fan of that because, you know, the whole idea of, you know, being on the road 180 days plus per year, especially in the beginning, way more than that to make like no money. You know, good things come later on.
What the perfect job, though.
Oh, it's bad.
On the road, 180.
I love travel. So let me answer your question.
Yes.
My wife and I met doing college radio. And we brought an old friend of my dad's who is this like ridiculous pot smoking hippie up from New York. He's still a trumpet and guitar musician, lives in like the janitor's closet in the basement of a building in Briarwood, Queens. And we brought him up to the campus coffee house and paid him $100 and a bottle of Jim Beam Black to play a show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was cool. So he plays at the Brandeis coffee shop. It's called Chums. He comes over after we order pizza. He's got this wood paneled, like 30-year-old wagon master, drives it straight into the retaining wall behind my house that I lived in off campus. He didn't park his car. He just smashed it into the retaining wall and stopped. Comes upstairs with his vaporizer. My now wife locks herself in my bedroom and, you know, we ate pizza and whatever in the kitchen. But, Anyhow, he's telling me this story about how his dad had a New York Times paper route. Not he was the paper boy, but you know, a couple dozen paper boys worked under him. And his only regret in life was not trying the family business on for size, because he could have gotten into it and potentially succeeded his father. So I graduated school a year before my wife, and came back down to Orlando and said, you know what, screw it. Let me try this on for size. You know, that story just really resonated with me. And I'm like, I'm going to live at home. And my father, for the record, and this can, I hope a lot of people see this, paid me $28,000 a year in salary that first year. So anyone who says there's a silver spoon or nepotism, screw you. But I did get to live at home. So no rent, lots of free food, but $28,000. And you'll see where this is all starting to come together. I kind of liked it. But about a year and a half in, I started feeling a sort of, let's call it, intellectual void. And at that point, I was still like a career student. And that is when I found the Florida State master's degree program in risk management and insurance. So about 2 or 3 years in, yeah, I started in 06, or graduated undergrad in 06, came into the business full time. I'd been licensed and worked in it prior. Came in summer of 06, and yeah, fall of 07, was starting the Florida State master's program, finished it in 09. And that's when I say I sold my soul. So, and since then, I've achieved the CPCU Chartered Property and Casualty Underwriter designation and did that. It's like a 4 to 6 year program. I did it in 2 years. So that's the insurance nerd thing. I actually think it's fun, and I just have an academic background. So I don't know. I just get shit done. What can I say?
There you go. So there's actually a program that takes you through, like, is it everything, like operations, or is it more?
Yes, it's freaking amazing, man. The undergrad program is a top three program in the country. Wow. They've grown it exponentially in the last half dozen years. The master's program, I think, is like top five in RMI master's program, RMI being risk management and insurance. They went from like 80 or 90 majors 5 or 6 years ago to like 250 right now. The program's incredible. It is one of the only programs, probably anywhere, but certainly at Florida State, that has like a 99.9 job placement rate. Wow. They do these big events twice a year called iDays, which is basically a career fair. There's, of course, now virtual option, but you can come up to campus in Tallahassee and do, you know, 2 straight days of, you know, these little like 15 to 30 minute interview blocks, and just meet kids, interview them for internships, for production roles, for service roles. You know, the carriers are there. So you know, big insurance companies to tiny agencies are there. And it's really just an awesome program. And it feeds itself too, because people that come through it just tend to really be enthusiastic about it. And Florida State's an infectious culture in a fabulous way too. So to be able to go up there and hang out and just kind of relive the glory for a couple of days, it's fun. And you give back, you give these kids internships and then hire them. We've got 3 right now, plus an intern that we found through that RMI program. If you count me, I guess it's 4 plus the intern. So it's just fantastic.
So you have a feeding ground.
Absolutely.
That's great, because everybody that runs an agency or has an agency knows that one of the toughest things is finding people.
Oh, no, it's the toughest. It's the toughest.
Yeah.
What keeps me up at night is not numbers, it's people. What was I up from 12:30 a.m. to 2 a.m. last night, going crazy about, after I tried to go to sleep at like 10:30, I got 2 good hours. Nonsense with people, just the labor market right now being so volatile. But no, it's good to have that feeder, but you know, you still have to screen appropriately too. Yeah. You know, but I would say, and I've said this for years, in general, the worst interview with an FSU RMI student is still akin to the best, just regular out in the field industry. Wow. Professional, almost always.
And what makes them so much better equipped?
They're hungry and they're engaged intellectually. They're not jaded, and they're not just trying to bring their bad habits from one stop to the next.
Right.
And it's not even that youthful idealism that some people maybe think when I say that. It's you've got career-oriented, focused students who know they're in an elite business program in their field. And it's phenomenal. And a matter of fact, they've started doing, I mean, it's been years now, but that there was always a mock sales competition. So we'd go up and as volunteers, you'd get the students, you'd have a risk management student, and you would pair that risk management student with a Florida State Professional Sales Program student. Together, they would do a series of three or four meetings and do fact-finding and presentation to a mock insurance buyer. And then there would be judges watching this on CCTV and filling out forms. And the winner would get like $1,000 furnished by Brown & Brown, which is Daytona Beach-based, one of the biggest independent shops, thousands of employees. I think they're national. But just really, really cool stuff. Well, that program, the last 2 years now, has gone intercollegiate, which means Ole Miss sends kids, UGA sends kids. There's like six or eight schools now participating. So guess what, folks? Insurance is now an intercollegiate sport.
Ooh.
Wow. That's incredible. So I want to know, with this program that they have over there at Florida State, what are some of the things that really engaged you personally with insurance? And I mean, what are some takeaways that you could give some people so we could...
Sure. The biggest takeaway is because, I grew up in an agency environment, right? So the goings on of an insurance agency, and we weren't always independent. My father was a Nationwide agent, and there's whole big story that we can talk about if you want. Obviously, you can tell. I'm very quick with how I explain things. I'm not verbose at all. But we were Nationwide shop until 2008. We still represent Nationwide. The La Cucaracha honking the horn, that may or may not have been a dinner with Nationwide. But, long story short, we all had to be independent, but we still rep Nationwide for whatever that is, 13 years now. So the biggest takeaways were really learning technical underwriting and company operations and what it's done. And I've seen it, especially in a marketplace as volatile as Florida, when companies do what seem like really weird, bizarre, crazy things. I know what they're doing and I can react to it months before the average agent, who may be a very intelligent business owner, but they're just not technically schooled in company ops. And they're just like, what are these crazy SOBs doing? And they're, just kind of pissed off about it and going about their day. I'm like, I know why they're doing it. And I can start to get ahead of it as best as I can from my operational standpoint. So sort of being exposed to the industry through all these facets, it's similar to, I have a colleague who kind of runs on a parallel track to me over in Tampa, and her father, who was a Nationwide agent, actually told her, like, I won't hire you until you go work for a company for a few years first. And that's the same education, just different delivery. It really forced her to see things through a different lens. And that sort of, diversity of exposure, it's powerful. It's truly powerful.
When you say work for a company, do you mean work for the carrier or work at an agency?
Yes, for an insurance carrier. I think she worked for USAA, actually.
Oh, okay. Like call center selling?
Yep.
Okay.
That's cool.
Actually, she may have been an underwriter. She did do call center stuff, but just to get on the carrier side in any way, shape, or form. This particular person, I'm pretty sure she was an underwriter. She's a hell of a saleswoman, though.
Yeah.
So again, it was a 2 or 3 year gig with the plan was always for her to come back to Tampa. And now she bought her old man out and she's got a great operation in Tampa.
That's cool. So take us through from captive to independent, pros, cons, what you enjoyed about both.
Sure. The captive side was easy, right? Because you have this mothership that you're tethered to and everything, even E&O. It was called like agency support. E&O was like a new term to us when we went independent. You have to know one, maybe two sets of underwriting guidelines. And maybe you're allowed to do some brokerage business, which means giving stuff to an MGA or whatnot here and there. So it was just a different world. Everything was all about one identity. And the transition was interesting because my father was absolutely terrified. He probably would have sold the agency at that point if there wasn't a succession plan, if I hadn't become involved and was a couple of years in. So what we actually did was create a second corporation and get involved with an MGA that had a network of companies that included big national brands. Just kind of like have your cake and eat it too, because the fear was, who the heck is going to appoint? How are we going to get appointments with these big national carriers. And we're just like, you know, ho-hum this Nationwide shop in Central Florida. Well, it turns out Nationwide screened their agents really well. And look, the jury's still out on how meaningful certain credentials, certain experiences, certain schooling is. Okay, I'm open to the conversation. But Nationwide demanded that you have a four-year college education. There were cases where, you know, an agent dropped dead of a heart attack and they wouldn't give the spouse the business because the spouse didn't have a four-year degree. That was it. The spouse was good at it. No four-year degree, no play. That was Nationwide in those captive years. So
you're not on her side.
What's that? Oh, on the independent side, you need to fog a mirror and have a license, right? But and everything from that to the most capable, competent, schooled, incredible insurance professional ever. So Nationwide had these standards that were, let's just call them appealing to, you know, the big national brands, Hartford, Travelers, Progressive, auto owners, et cetera, you know, folks like that. So we actually spent about a 6-month period where we were in, you know, Morton Steakhouse or, you know, wherever, places like that, basically once or twice a week. And my father's fear of how the heck are we going to get appointments? Because we were a growth agency. You know, he was not a 2 or 3 man shop where he played golf all day and the secretary held down the fort. It was about how do we grow? How do we increase revenue? How do we run a solid, productive business? And they could see that. So a lot of stakes later, we were becoming a fast-growing, robust independent. And by premium volume, because that's one thing, Nationwide doesn't want you to think in revenue, right? Because they own the expirations. Well, not anymore. But in the right. captive days, any captive writer, they want you to think in DWP, direct written premium, because if you think in revenue, just it's bad news. You're probably going to wind up going independent against their will. But DWP wise, we basically doubled the agency, and the agency dates back to the 1970s. The book of business, that's the foundation. My father got into the business in like 89 or 90, but we've doubled it in like 10 years just by going independent, because no longer is it, hey, I'm going to use Nationwide as the example, even though they're super hot in our market right now, but that's who we were captive with once upon a time. Like, hey, iDudes, like, Nationwide sucks for you. Go call the Allstate guy down the street. Now it's, you know, you guys know what independents do. Now it's like, here's three options. You know, this one throws in a toaster, this one throws in a box of steaks, and this one, the claim service sucks, but you decide.
Yeah.
Right.
So when you came in, what size was it before you now are at double premium?
To be continued.
Hey, Jason.
Yes, Mr. Craig.
That was another awesome episode, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if people want to get a little bit more action and learn how to do write 100,000 in premium
yes.
off of even the worst internet leads, where could they go?
They can go to live.teledudes.com.
Ooh, that sounds exciting. Are we going to be there?
Yes. It's a weekly call that we're doing right now. It's live, and it will show you the process, the entire process. Mm. Super awesome.
Mm. I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Sign up right now, live.teledudes.com.
Live.teledudes.com. That's live.teledudes.com.
Hey, Craig, there's a new community that we are starting that I cannot wait to tell everybody about. It is our live texting community, where you and I are going to answer people's questions and give them free content, right?
Are you kidding me? We get yep. to talk to them?
Yeah, which is awesome, but they have to opt in. They have to text us at 520-214-2219. That's 520-214-2219.
Nice. I'm gonna
Craig, are you
going
to respond to these texts?
I'm going to respond to them for sure, live.
I'm into it too. It's going to be awesome. And it's going to be our new texting community where we're going to get back to everybody that we can and drop some crazy content, free content and free the calculator that you just came up with.
Mm.
That's right. The calling calculator, sales material. I mean, everything for insurance agents. This is it. It's the best texting community out there for insurance agents.
Well, what the heck is that number again? I can't remember it.
It's 520-214-2219. That's 520-214-2219.
I love it. I'm going to text it right now.
520-214-2219.
All right. I'll see you later, Mr. Jason.
Bye, Mr. Craig.
Wait, do they even listen to this on the radio anymore?
I love it. I love it.
Nice.
All right.